Welcome to the Conscious Leadership Podcast. I'm Jen Thurman. My love of words and stories began early in life. The elementary lessons that stick most with me are the language arts ones. In the third grade, we had a whole section in English class on proverbs. Of course, I now understand that this is a clever way to begin to teach kids how to think critically and read meaning beyond the literal word. But at the time, I was simply just a happy little decoder. They all made sense to me, more or less. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Don't put the cart before the horse. All that glitters is not gold. A stitch in time saves nine. But there were a couple that I didn't like very much, even at age 8. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Seemed to me a very sad, self-fulfilling prophecy. Even at 8, I believed in the power of my thoughts, and I felt a huge responsibility for those ill-fated chicks. Like, if I didn't wish them into being, perhaps I was wishing them out of being. Yes, I was that kid. But the one I really hated, and the one that has haunted me a little ever since, was this one. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. So first of all, I remember thinking, what the heck are birds doing in a bush? And two of them. Why are there two birds in the bush? But once I suspended my skepticism about the seemingly unusual bird behavior, the underlying message seemed to me so fraught with anxiety and tension. The lesson, of course, is that it's better to be content with what you have than to risk losing everything by seeking more. I literally remember arguing over the thought exercise with my poor third grade teacher, Mrs. Marcel. What if the birds in the bush were bigger and more beautiful? What if I had a big net? What if I got a friend to sneak around the back of the bush? What if the birds in the bush were slower than the bird in my hand? What if I could carry the bird in my hand and get really close to the birds in the bush before making the decision about whether to let go or not? And finally, what if I captured even one of the birds in the bush? Wouldn't I still be better off for having tried to get both? To which Mrs. Marcel rolled her eyes and answered, "Sounds like a lot of work and trouble to end up in the same place." And she moved on to what she thought was a safer lesson. Don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Bless her heart. Here's what I've come to believe. A bird in the hand is BS. But even though it's complete BS, some of us, most of us, have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. The illusion of safety and security is a trap. It lulls us into a desperate gratitude for the job we have and the predictable income it provides. It swindles us into believing that the hurtful relationship we're in is better than being lonely. The bird in the hand gives us permission to stay small, to not take risks, to live a life that's not aligned with our full purpose. Kyle Cease has a brilliant illustration of the pitfall of the bird in the hand. I first saw it as a clip out of his Living Out Loud work, and he illustrates the idea, although he's not talking about this old proverb, but it's the same idea. He illustrates it by standing next to the piano on stage where he's doing his talk and holding on to it. When you're holding on to your piano, he says, the only thing you can experience are within arm's reach of that piano. The only opportunities you can grasp are within a 5-foot radius of that instrument. But the second you let go of the piano, the whole stage, auditorium, building, and world of opportunities opens up to you. And intrinsically, we all know this is true, but there's always the yeah, but. Yeah, but the job market is rough right now. Yeah, but there's a global pandemic. There's no way I'm going to meet new people in this world of mask wearing and social distancing. Yeah, but look, I'm not denying it. Uncertainty reigns right now and is exhausting, which causes us to contract. But if you can withstand the discomfort and make a decision to expand, now is exactly the time to let go of things that no longer serve. Of course, I have an example. Just today, I was talking with a client who's been teaching an online self-paced class, part-time, for a university. It's a gig she's had on the side for many years. And on the one hand, it's predictable income for relatively low effort on her part. On the other hand, she hasn't enjoyed it for a long time, and it doesn't actually pay that much. But deeper than that, she's tethered to this old world in some ways. As a PhD, she spent years navigating through the world of academia. This world and its inhabitants created rules for her that she knew, even at the time she was in it, weren't really aligned with what she truly believed. And the power of the tether, therefore, is not just some reliable income. It's actually an old identity. It's a double-edged sword of continuing to want to be accepted and well-regarded by a network of people she doesn't actually agree with on some things. And on the other side of her sword, there's actually a pretty strong desire there to prove them wrong somehow, to shake them out of their limiting thinking, and in a way, to try to change the past. Let's face it, most of us have moments in our lives where we're standing in front of the mirror getting ready in the morning, and we have that imaginary conversation with our critics, with people who have judged us or treated us poorly. We all have fleeting moments of rebellion and righteous indignation that stem from a need for redemption or justice. And sometimes the rebellion sticks, and we quit the job, or leave the relationship, or stand up for ourselves in the meeting. But often it doesn't. And once we've had a few choice words for the imaginary transgressor in the mirror, we go back to our roles, responsibilities, and relationships, biting our tongues and firmly clutching to the world as it is, to our pianos. The birds in our hand, they pay some bills. They keep us secure. Sometimes they keep us small. But what about those bush birds? Just by virtue of there being other birds, we know there are more choices. We know there are other opportunities out there. So coming back to my client, one of the biggest realizations she's come to recently is that the inhabitants of her old world are not her people anymore, if they ever were to begin with. Today, after years of education, research, honing her ideas, testing her theories, she's outgrown that old world. And rather than trying to get them to grow up with her, it's time to shift her focus and find the new world, with a new inhabitants that will recognize her ideas for the gems that they are. The people she really wants to reach are the people who perk up and listen when she begins to speak. To speak about her research and her recommendations for a new way of solving big global problems. She dreams of speaking on the world stage and teaching the methods she's carefully developed over decades of research in pursuit of her PhD and beyond. She dreams of interacting with high-impact leaders who are tackling the world's most serious issues. You name it. Climate change, racism, gender inequality. The truth is, the application of her research is one very powerful antidote to the increasingly fractured ideological camps that create divide and discord in our society. I know this in my being. And the fact is, she can't expand her impact if she's tethered to a 15-hour-a-week task that's not only draining her time, but siphoning her high-frequency energy into lower-frequency attitudes of resentment at worst and tolerance at best. It's not just the 15 hours a week that would be repurposed into more valuable work. It's all of the energy she has to muster to not resent the constricted, low-value tasks. So, she decided not to renew her contract, and immediately she was free. And within a day, she was already seeing new opportunities, literally falling into her lap to work on the higher value projects that are aligned with her true purpose and passion. So, if you take two things away from this podcast today, I hope that they will be: one, if you're contemplating making a big leap, it's not just about the mathematical equation of time and money. It's really important to recognize how much energy that it takes to manage the mind games we play with ourselves when we're trying to fit into a system, organization, or circumstance that is misaligned with our purpose. And secondly, Trust me on this. You will not be able to recognize the world of opportunities that will open up to you while you're still clutching the piano, or the bird, or the dead-end job, or the friends who no longer buoy us. At some point, you have got to let go in order to expand. So, what birds are out there for you to go after? And what are you holding on to that no longer serves?